is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
After 11 o'clock, welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins Coloradoan. CSU football, we'll get into some of that. CSU basketball as well. But Kevin, I told you this last week. We started up our sports movie review situation here. We're very excited about it. Have you seen the movie Moneyball?
Sure have.
Okay, so I want you to get, this is exclusive, man. No, I don't even get this treatment. You get your review out before we do tomorrow. It's a basketball team, 10-man team. Are you starting Moneyball? Are you benching it? Are you cutting it?
Well, I love Moneyball. Without knowing all the movies, I would have to think I'd probably start it. I love that movie. That's one of my, if I'm at home doing some work or something and it's on, like, I'll absolutely always turn it on and sort of get a nice relaxing watch with that movie. So I love Moneyball. I think it's fun.
I think that's a great way to gauge it for a starter. If it's on, like if you're just scrolling through TV and you see on TBS, oh, Moneyball's on, and then you leave it on, then that's probably a good indicator that it might be a starter for you. And that's been the drama on this review thing, Kevin. We're getting a lot of drama around it because people are like, well, we don't know the full movie list. That's the beauty of it, right? You don't know exactly. You can't gamble too much. If it's a strong sports movie, go ahead and start it.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to have all your best movies on the bench, and then you have chemistry issues on your lineup.
Exactly.
Your big dogs are wondering why they're not getting the minutes. It's a disaster. So yeah, I mean, I think Moneyball at minimum is going to be a real solid role player on my lineup, so it can absolutely head into the starting lineup.
Well, I shocked the world on Friday, Kevin, and I mean literally the world. I put White Man Can't Jump. I cut it. I loved this movie growing up, and for some reason I went back and watched it last week, and I'm like, it's still good. It's still very good. It's just not as good as I remember.
I think, I haven't seen that one forever, so I'm kind of in the same boat there with you, but I don't feel shocked that a rewatch could lead to that decision. So I'm surprised, but not in complete shock, I think, at your choice there.
I was surprised with myself. As I'm watching, I'm like, okay, I'm still enjoying it, but it's just different. Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And all right, another interesting name as far as a transfer to Colorado State, SMU receiver Dylan Goffney jumping over. So, Kevin, you got to tell me, man. I see these names, and I see the fans get excited and everything. You tell me what this really means. I mean, is this a monster story for Colorado State?
Oh, and you see some things on Twitter. I mean, it's every player they've got is the best player that was potentially available.
That's why we need you to sift through this stuff to tell it to us straight.
No, start printing the banners. I mean, let's go. No, it is hard this time of year, because of course, this is, the spring of optimism, and yeah, every player that comes in, fans look at their resume, and either they have great production, so it's going to be even better here, or they didn't produce, and it's because the other team screwed them up, and we're going to fix them and make them way better. That's how fans think, and that's cool. That's how they should. Dylan Goffney, to me, it looks like this, Jay Norvell said he was looking for this. He wanted another kind of experienced receiver, because right now, before Dylan comes in, they have, Torrey Horton, who obviously very experienced, very good, and then a bunch of kids. And, yeah, some of those kids look really good, Justice Ross Simmons. But you probably want sort of a middle ground there of someone that's played a lot of games. And Goffney's done that, played a lot for SMU over the last two seasons. The thing that jumps out to me is a big play guy. He had 500 yards last year, which, is a nice number, nothing insane either, but 30 yards per catch, which means he is making explosive plays. And I think that probably seems to fit with what I would expect his role will be. I mean, Torrey Horton's still going to be your number one. You expect Justice Ross Simmons to keep growing. So, maybe a 2-3 option where, both Justice and Dylan Goffney are sort of your 2-3 guys there. I think he seems like a good fit, and he has a couple of years of eligibility. So, if Torrey Horton were to go pro after this season, you still have, a number of guys available to step into bigger roles. So it seems like a very good fit. He's not, going to be a Biletnikoff winner this year or anything like that, but seems like a good fit.
You tweeted out a quote. You had a conversation with Chad Savage, and I thought this was really interesting because this is what we've all been saying. It's just interesting seeing it in quotes. These guys, they're all essentially looking at it like it's free agency. I think part of the quote there that you put up on Twitter from Chad Savage says, hey, if we've got a guy that we can plug and play for 1 year, we're going to go get him. And that just kind of proves everyone's point is this NIL transfer world we're in is very much like NFL free agency.
Yeah, in some ways it definitely is. It used to be every now and then you would see one of those grad transfers, with 1 year left and bring them in to plug a hole. But it would be fairly infrequent, maybe 2 to 3 a class. But yeah, now I think what we're seeing is kind of the philosophy, from this staff is they think high school is under-recruited. They think they can win very big at recruiting high school, and their rankings would suggest that they're doing that. But then within that, you can, or to complement that, I should say, find where you have some holes where, you need a guy this year. And, some of these freshman receivers, they have come in, and of course they're excited about. You can't just have 5 freshman receivers. You need some experience. So I think that's where you're really seeing this come into play of like, if we have a guy that, we see in the portal that fits, roster, need there and, eligibility, of course, the school stuff and just team fit, how they'll fit in the culture. So absolutely, we'll go get a guy that can play 1 year. A couple of those North Dakota State guys that they brought in are exactly that. They need a running back. They got a 1 year running back. They, probably want one more experienced guy on the defensive line. They got, I think he's a 6th year actually from North Dakota State. So yeah, you're absolutely seeing, more and more of that of like, hey, here are a couple deficiencies on our roster. Let's go find an experienced player.
I want to let our listeners know, too, Kevin has an updated list available at the Coloradoan.com for the transfers into the Colorado State football program. So that's a nice little cheat sheet for me there, Kevin. Let me ask you this question. Is there a sense of growing pressure for a guy like Clay Millen? Last year, it's like, okay, freshman, you're young, new to this. Let's see how you fit into it. You start seeing all these names. You got an exciting running back with Kobe Johnson. You get this Goffney kid, and you're seeing more and more. You like your tight end situation. You think you've improved the offensive line. Is there a lot more pressure on Clay Millen this upcoming season?
Yeah, I think it definitely goes up some. Kind of like it does for the whole team and, the coaching staff of since you can change a roster so significantly so quickly, it's not like the old days where it's like, well, maybe by year 3, maybe year 4, they'll be winning. Most of this roster is going to be built in the image of, how they want it to be. There's more pressure when, and obviously, therefore, the quarterback has pressure, especially with how last year went. We all understand why it did. Millen was a freshman, had his ups and downs, and a lot of that was exacerbated and highlighted by really, really, really poor offensive line play. So yeah, if those things are improved, most significantly the line, you're going to need to see those scoring numbers go up. So yeah, there is some of that, expectation rise this year for Millen in that offense. I mean, if they're sitting at 19 points per game or something this year, that's going to be pretty disappointing to everyone.
Kevin Lytle joining us for the Fort Collins, Colorado. And okay, so like I started the interview with, looking at all of these moves and everything. When you evaluate this situation, again, we won't know until next year. This is how it is nowadays. You're going to see a lot of names. Some guys might work out. Some guys won't. But what's your gut tell you? Are you seeing enough names coming over through the transfer portal and all of that where you go, all right, I can easily see this team improving to the point where they're competing at least for a bowl situation or maybe beyond. Maybe you even feel like they could be a contender in the Mountain West Conference next year.
Yeah, the way I'll often analyze it, I'll almost work backwards of say, okay, let's look kind of through the roster and where do I feel there are holes. And at this point, I think it's pretty narrow, pretty small, the amount of, kind of glaring holes that I see. So that makes me, fairly optimistic about the growth. The big one, like we continue to talk about, I'm certain the O-line is better, but how significantly better is it? And we're really not going to know until the real game starts. So that's going to be the big question mark. But, you know, across the roster otherwise, yeah, I think it's a pretty well set up roster that has a lot more depth across the board, which I think is the most important thing, because I think last year your ones on each side of the ball were pretty good, but there was a big drop off after that, and I think it's less so this year. So yeah, I mean, right now I still think I'm not about to say CSU's in the conference title race, but I do think CSU in November should be playing to get into a bowl game.
On the basketball side of things, it's official. It was official when Kevin says it's official, but Colorado State men's basketball tweeted it out a couple of days ago. Neek Clifford, a lot of people excited about this guy. It seemed like last year for the Buffs, he was really starting to turn it on as the season progressed. So, you know, the excitement factor for this guy, plus he's a Buff, so it kind of like is, you know, a little extra. That's a big deal to bring him over. What kind of player do you think he's going to be next season for CSU?
Yeah, this is a really interesting and exciting move, I think, for CSU basketball fans. One, it's a full circle. I mean, Neek was on campus, you know, was recruited by CSU out of high school. You know, there are pictures of him, you know, on a recruiting visit wearing the CSU jersey. Obviously ended up choosing CU. So it's kind of a full circle thing there. But I think he's a guy that really has a chance to flourish. And yeah, he was a solid player for CU in the Pac-12. And I think he's going to have a role that probably fits him better here. And especially if a certain number four point guard returns, he'll have a point guard that really feeds him the ball and puts him in good spots. So yeah, I think Neek is a very fascinating and exciting addition for CSU.
Again, it's a fun time of year. We see a lot of names. What does it all mean? And I suppose we won't really know until next season. Kevin, my man, what are you working on for us so we can check out at the Colorado for the next couple of days? I know you've been all over the place with the transfer news.
Yeah, that's obviously one of the big ones, just tracking all those transfers. But then on the basketball side, right before I hopped on here, I'm just finishing up a story on that Mr. Isaiah Stevens point guard, just sort of everything fans need to know because we are nearing decision day. So just kind of a whole breakdown of what's happening, what will be next, and when we might get some news on Mr. Stevens. So keep an eye out for that because, you know, those transfers into the basketball program are exciting, but I would argue that the decision from Isaiah will be the most important decision for this upcoming season for CSU.
Kevin, refresh my memory. When is that date that we need to be paying attention to for Isaiah's decision?
May 31 is the drop dead, has to decide, you know, if he's going to come back to college. He has to do it, you know, by the end, I think, end of day, May 31. I also don't think it's going to go that long. You know, David Roddy's did last season. He was a very unique case, though. I think Isaiah's, we're going to get info earlier than that.
Oh, man.
But one way or another, by the time we roll that calendar to June, we're going to know.
All right, my friend. Well, that would be a great movie, right? A great sports movie to see Isaiah return and CSU return to March Madness. That one might be a starter. Kevin, appreciate you as always, my man. Have a great weekend.
You bet. Same to you, Brady.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. So he's putting Moneyball as a starter. That's what we're reviewing tomorrow at 12:30. Very excited about it. Can't wait. You've seen it. Did I ask you, or did you have seen? You haven't seen this one before. This will be interesting. 11:51 the time. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hear the manager of the NoCo Owls every Tuesday with the Frank Gonzalez Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.